This morning we're going to look at an event in the, you might say, in the Christmas story, there in at least the very early days of Christ's life, where he is taken to Jerusalem, to the temple, to be presented for the Lord in obedience to the Lord's commands in the book of Exodus. But we're going to look at verse 25 of Luke chapter 2 through verse 35. So if you would read and follow along, we will read that now. Luke 2, beginning in verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, capital S, into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him, according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Let's pray. Our Father, again, we acknowledge our dependence upon you. We thank you for your presence in this place, in our hearts, with us. Thank you that when we come together, it's in a special way. And we are grateful. We ask that you speak to us now, that you instruct us, Holy Spirit, through your word, and that you show us Jesus, that we would be drawn together to him. For it's him that we would see. We thank you for the forgiveness of our sins and for your great grace. In Jesus' name, amen. As we've gone through this time of Advent and the passages that we've looked at through this whole Advent season in the month of December, we've talked a lot about and kind of made some emphasis about the reality of the fact that we physical human beings, as children of God, live not only in the physical world and the physical realm, but at the same time in the kingdom of God, which Jesus declared when he began to preach, that the kingdom of God is at hand. Of course, he always has been. And there's a very thin veil, you might say, that separates the two. We've talked about all of the events, all of the things that have happened where where that realm of the spirit, the eternal, the immortal, has broken through into the physical and the natural. And there's been angels come and speak, and revelation and miracles and just so many things take place and have taken place as these two worlds, you might say, collided. As the interaction and the work and the history of God that he's writing began to be consummated in the coming of Christ and in the incarnation, so that that world all the more is breaking into this one and headed toward salvation, as we've sung about and talked about it, headed towards that time when God consummates creation. There's a new heaven and a new earth, and we are like Christ, all the redeemed in immortal bodies. And it becomes the norm to live there. But I believe, as we've talked about this and seen this in the scripture, that God has initiated, and it's truth, and it's important that we begin to grasp, or that we experience more and more and more of his kingdom, of the presence of his power, of his Holy Spirit, and of his angels, and activity with us and among us and through us, bringing his kingdom and his will on earth as it is in heaven. And today we're going to look at a fellow by the name of Simeon. And I think he's given here in some of why I guess, or I feel like the Lord put on my heart to look at him today, is because he's such a good illustration to us of what we've been talking about all of this time through Advent, and about all of these events and all of these things where the kingdom of God is broken through into the kingdom of men and even into this darkness of this present world. He learned to live then, and even before what we read in Acts 2 of Pentecost, he learned to live then in both worlds. He learned to live in that relationship with God that God so desires, and which he created you and I for. Remember, that's what Jesus defined eternal life as in John 17:3. To know God. In that personal, intimate friendship, not just know about him. And Jesus Christ, whom he has sent, Jesus said. Well, Simeon, like I said, is a good example of that. And interestingly, Simeon's name literally means heard. Heard or hearing. And that's essential. Listening, hearing is essential to relationship. In fact, it is essential to love. And a foundational part of love is to value someone enough to hear what they are saying, to esteem what they are saying, their heart, because that's what our words are, the expressions of our heart. Isn't that what Jesus said? Out of the mouth, abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so a wonderful and a glorious expression of love is to listen intently, genuinely, not just in one ear and out the other, which all of us guys, I'm sure, have been accused of at times by our wives. But Simeon's name means heard, hearing. And I think that's evident in his life and in what we see here. He's a just and devout man. He's a good man. And he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. In other words, he's in faith. He's not hopeless. He anticipates that God will do what God has promised in consoling and comforting and redeeming Israel. And we see later on by the things that he said that he understood that God's salvation was for all the world. But it says the Holy Spirit was upon him. And that is the essential and absolute necessary ingredient for us as children of God to be Christ followers, to follow Him and live in this present physical world with the connection and the reality of the spiritual kingdom of God in our lives and in the lives of those around us. It is that intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, it says, was upon him. And the Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now that's just how wonderfully gracious he is. The Holy Spirit is. Now he didn't owe that to Simeon. I don't know if Simeon had prayed for that or had asked for that. But at some point along the way, the Holy Spirit had told him, you're not going to die until you have seen the Lord's salvation with your own eyes. And apparently he has become quite elderly. But he knows that he's going to live. And that in his lifetime, at some point, Messiah is going to come. So he lives in that faith and anticipation, which is a good encouragement to you and I, to also live by the power and in relationship with the Holy Spirit, standing in faith, anticipating his coming. Anticipating his coming, standing in faith, just like Simeon was, and listening. That's what's essential to living in living a supernatural Christian life, which is ours by inheritance, because Jesus paid for it to be ours. If we will live there, if we will experience that as fully as God wants us to experience it, it will absolutely be by knowing and listening to the Holy Spirit. As He speaks to us, as He moves on our heart, as He speaks through the Scriptures to us, we learn and get to know His voice better and better. And now let me just tell you, in that process, you're going to make some mistakes. If you're serious about it. We don't have enough time today for me to tell you all I've made along the way. When I thought I heard him, but I didn't. But I tell you this, because I wanted to hear him, because I was intent on listening, and because I believed that he still spoke and that he still did the things that he did in the scripture, that he was still a miraculous, supernatural, sovereign God, and that he still could help me and help others through me. There were times I did hear, and when I did, and I believed and acted on it, things showed up. That kingdom broke through in this one. And miracles took place, because that's what Jesus called us to do. That's the example we have in the scripture. But as I said, listening, wanting to hear him and listening and learning to hear his voice is extremely important. If Simeon had not grown to that place, we wouldn't know about him. Because the only way we see in the scripture, the only way Simeon showed up in the temple at the right place at the right time, what does it say? By the Spirit. He was minding his own business or doing whatever he was doing that day at whatever time it was. And the Holy Spirit said, go to the temple. In fact, he might still be walking around today. I don't know, because God said, you're not going to die till you see him. And if he hadn't listened to the Holy Spirit and got there at the time that he did, he might not have ever seen Jesus for a lot longer time. I don't know. I'm being facetious. But the fact is, he did hear. And he did obey. He acted. When the Holy Spirit said, go to the temple, he got up and went to the temple. And because he did, you and I have this example of his life and the things the Holy Spirit said through him here in the Holy Scriptures that will stand forever. He walked into the temple and was there waiting. Probably didn't know why. We're not told that the Holy Spirit explained to him why. He just apparently said, go. He came by the Spirit into the temple. And he just happened to be there. One of those divine coincidences. He just happened to be there when the parents, Joseph and Mary, brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law. They were still obeying the revelation they had, the Old Testament law, the Old Testament covenant. And Simeon saw him. And he knew in that moment, not because he was so smart, but because the Holy Spirit showed him. He took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, he blessed God. That's joy and gratitude and love all mingled together, just spewed out of his heart and his mouth to God. And he declared, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace. That's pretty wild to get that excited about knowing you're going to die. But you can be that excited when in faith you know that's not all there is. That is just the beginning. It's just a door to step through. And he was ready to go. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. That's why I kind of think he was pretty elderly, that he was ready to go. Now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. See, this was not just his desires or just his wants or his, you know, idea. This is what the Holy Spirit had spoken. And he believed it. And because he believed it, he understood that according to God's word, God was going to do what he promised and he had, because here is salvation. He says in verse 30, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples. My eyes have seen your salvation. Salvation isn't an act. Salvation isn't a formula. Salvation is a person. That person is Jesus Christ, the child that Simeon is holding in his hands and realizes by the Holy Spirit's revelation that this indeed is the one he has been looking for all his life. And by the Holy Spirit's revelation, he understands and he declares that this salvation is before the face of all peoples. And he is a light. Jesus is a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. See, this is mind-boggling. It doesn't impact us like it would have impacted all those Jews standing around him in the temple yard or court, wherever they happened to be when they encountered one another. They didn't have much room or place or space or interest in Gentiles. But God did. a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, to bring Gentiles out of the darkness. You see, the Israelites knew the Messiah was coming. They knew God. They knew who he was and what he was like because they had had thousands of years of interaction with him since Abraham, since Moses, and all of that. But Gentiles don't. They're in darkness. Those outside of Israel, all those years were in darkness apart from God and had no real idea or clue except for what they could ascertain from creation. But Jesus came to bring both together in full, complete revelation and relationship with the one true God. Manifest, incarnate, in his Son, Jesus Christ. And he continues. He continues in the power of the Holy Spirit. He has declared here that this coming, this Messiah, is not just for the Israelites, not just to liberate them from Rome, or not to just make them a great kingdom again like they were under David, but to bring salvation to all people. He had comprehended the gospel. Like Paul said in Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God. It's the power of God unto salvation. To the Jew first and also to the Gentile." Joseph and his mother, you can imagine, Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. They were amazed. They were blown away, you might say, at all that was being said by this man, Simeon, who they probably had never noticed or seen before, who has come by the leading of the Holy Spirit and now is speaking by revelation of the Holy Spirit about Jesus, their little boy. Then Simeon blessed them. He let that blessing that was flowing out of him to God turn now and flow to them, and allowed the Holy Spirit to speak through him to them, blessing, to impart blessing to them. And then he transitioned from speaking to Joseph and Mary to speaking specifically to Mary, his mother, because we know more than likely through the scriptures that Joseph was not alive by the time Jesus began his ministry. And he said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." He's prophesying. He's speaking what he's hearing, what he's led by the Holy Spirit to say. That's how prophecy in the New Testament works, in blessing and encouraging and helping and instructing others. He says, rising and falling. And that's where we start with Christ. We don't start with the rising. We start with the falling. We humble ourselves. We admit we are sinners. We confess our need and that we cannot save ourselves. And in Christ, we're given new life. We are risen. We rise. But we also understand that there are many who will not believe. There are many who will not agree. There are many who will not listen. And they will speak against the gospel. They'll speak against Christ, and they'll speak against us who stand for him, who speak by the Holy Spirit. But it's no shock to us because Jesus taught us in Matthew 10:34, Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Christ is coming again. I saw something or thought about something this week, right around either Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, in preparation for L.S.'s funeral on Friday. The Lord just kind of spoke to me. You know, we celebrate Christmas, and of course, central to that is that Christ came and that He was born in the stables and that He was laid in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn, that He was this absolutely dependent newborn infant. And yet we have the promise and we have the truth in God's Word that He is coming again. And this time when He comes, He will come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when He comes, He won't be looking for somewhere to stand. It won't be an issue of no room for in the end any longer. The issue will be no place to hide. For the Scripture teaches that those who have rejected Him and those who would not believe will cry for the mountains to fall upon them and the rocks to cover them, to hide them from Him. For He is no longer a dependent babe, but He is fully and completely the Lamb of God who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He said that Mary would suffer. She would have a sword pierced through her own soul. And He used the word soul, which is talking about an emotional event, not that she would be killed with a sword, but that her heart would be broken as it was at the cross. And through it, the thoughts of many hearts would be revealed. Because God looks on the heart. That's where the Holy Spirit and we meet. That's where we relate. That's where we hear as Simeon did. That's where that relationship begins to direct our lives and lead us to say what God says and to do what God wills and to impact and bless other people. Learning to hear, listening is essential to relationship and to faith. For Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And that's what leads to seeing. You see, Simeon had heard, and Simeon believed what God had told him. And Simeon learned to act, to obey, to submit when the Holy Spirit spoke. And because he did, he got to see. And we can too. Hearing, believing, following, obeying, seeing the salvation of God, His works done by the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ in and for us and others. If Simeon could have that close of a relationship with God in the Holy Spirit before the day of Pentecost, surely since he was poured out and came to stay in us, Christ's church, on the day of Pentecost, we can hear Him and live there following Him too. I pray that Simeon is a good example to us and that we, like he, are used of God to bless others with the truth of this child who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us through this man, Simeon. Thank you for his faith and his obedience and his example to us. And thank you, Father, that The same Holy Spirit who was upon him is within us who believe. And you have the same, as you've always had, agenda to reveal Jesus Christ through us and through all who will believe, that he has come for all people, that he is the glory of Israel and the Son of God. Lord, bless this week to your glory. Bless our invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.